This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube too. At the team 980. The NFL draft's in the books, Sant. It was a lead up. We're talking about it. We said it was going to happen. And it happened. Like that, it's over. Now all of a sudden, we're in the post draft wilderness. Whatever are we going to do?
Talk about the draft some more.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. In fact, I would like to go through every single pick of the first round, but that's probably going to take a while. So, we got to keep it short. And so, Anthony, if there's music, it must mean we're moving. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm happy to present to you, here on The Hoffman Show, one thought about every single pick of the first round. How do you think this is going to go, Anthony?
I think it's going to go good.
All right. Well, here we go. We're about to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, one thought on every single first-round draft pick. Cam Ward, number one overall to the Tennessee Titans, quarterback out of Miami. He was by far the best quarterback on the board. That was a team that needed quarterback. Duh, is my thought on Cam Ward. The second overall pick wound up being Travis Hunter to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the trade with the Cleveland Browns. I like this trade for both teams. I think this is a real chance to find out, hey, Trevor Lawrence, if we give you a bona fide weapon at wide receiver to go with the other bona fide weapon that we got you last year in Brian Thomas Jr., and you're still not very good with this quarterback savior offensive coach in Liam Cohen, then we know that the problem might just be you. And so I like making that equation. I like figuring that out. And I think this is a bold move for Jacksonville at the right time for them. And let's see how it goes. Number three, Abdul Carter. He's the best player on the board. Good job, Giants. We'll get back to you later. Number four, Will Campbell. Look, Will Campbell, from a culture standpoint, is about as good of a player as you can ask for in this draft. I think it's kind of weird that he was like, I will die trying to protect Drake May. It's also exactly what I want for my offensive lineman as he's on stage in the moment of his life. I hope Will Campbell gets a new stylist, but I love the pick for the New England Patriots. Number five, Mason Graham. Look, the Browns wanted to get a disruptor inside to pair with Myles Garrett. I actually like them taking a bunch of swings or having the ability to take swings, trading back. I don't know if this is exactly the player I would have gone for here, but I also get why they did it. I don't think it's a bad choice, and the overall trade is something that I really like by Cleveland because it sets them up to have multiple first-rounders next year to be able to move, and they also might have the first pick in the draft naturally because they might be really bad. Number six, Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders. This is a Pete Carroll kind of pick. We're going to play defense. We're going to run the football. And now they're going to be able to run the football. Obviously, they've addressed the offensive line in other ways. They still need to continue to address it in the years to come. But you have now taken whatever you want to do offensively and put a floor underneath it because you are going to be able to run the football effectively if Ashton Jeanty is the dude that we all think he is. Obviously, they addressed quarterback already this offseason with Geno Smith. They did some other fun stuff offensively. They put together a very very varied group of offensive skill players in this draft. Jeanty, Jack Besh, etc. But I think that this is kind of the obvious pick. He's the best player on the board. There may be no more obvious pick in the first round than what the Jets did at seven, taking Armon Membu, right tackle, out of Missouri. Everyone thought, okay, he might be the best prospect tackle in the draft, but he's never played left before. Hope he can do it. Unless you're the Jets and you took Olu Fashanu last year And now you have your bookend tackles for the future. It sets up that either Justin Fields doesn't have a lot of excuses. Obviously, look, Bashanu's still young and Membu's about to be a rookie. So we'll see how it goes this year. But in the long term, whoever your quarterback solution is, you got your bookend tackles. Like, we're going to give you a position to come in and succeed. And whether that's at near the top of the first round next year or in the year after, they do a free agency deal, they find someone later that works, whatever it is, they're investing in that offensive line, which is exactly how the Detroit Lions were built, which is where Aaron Glenn, their new head coach, comes from. Tet McMillan, number 8 overall to the Carolina Panthers. Low-key really like this pick. I know that everyone's like, oh my God, you got to throw resources at the defense. You got to throw resources at the defense. They have a rookie quarterback, or not a rookie quarterback, a guy who would now be a third-year quarterback in Bryce Young, who looked really good at the end of last year. Like, really, really good. Like, could be a top 10 guy good by the end of last year. Now, it was a very, very small sample size. But when he could just let that thing rip, Bryce Young showed some stuff. And Tet McMillan is a big target who you can let it rip to. They obviously needed to go defense in other places. They were the worst defense in the league last year. But they need weapons as well. And I like that pick as long as you like the player in Tet McMillan. Talk about an identity piece. I think the New Orleans Saints, they're trying to build an identity with Kelvin Banks Jr. at 9. And that identity is, we're going to build through the trenches. And that is the way good football teams are built. The Saints are a year away from, you know, probably being able to be anything close to what they want to be. But again, if you're not going to be good now, you might as well build from the inside out. And that's where I think, you know, a team like the Jets is like, hey, I don't know how good we're going to be right now, but we're going to put a floor underneath us and we're going to be able to evaluate the skill positions because our offensive line's not going to be bad. Same thing in New Orleans with that 9th pick. 10, Colson Loveland to the Bears. Love this pick. Love this pick. He is very similar to a guy like Sam Laporta, who Ben Johnson had in Detroit. He is arguably the best pass catcher in this entire draft. Some people liked him better than not only the other tight end that went, Tyler Warren, but then Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, and all the receivers. This dude is a really, really special route runner, and giving Caleb Williams that kind of threat, not just as a quick outlet, but as a guy who can get some vertical stretch down the field as a tight end. Any team that drafted Colson Loveland, I'd probably been like, great pick. So the fact that it's Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, that's a good pick. Mikael Williams is one of the most interesting players to me in this entire draft. He goes to San Francisco. I love the fit. He is a violent player who is young. He is still not even 21 years old. He played most of last season, basically all of last season, with an ankle injury. So he wasn't quite as explosive as he was the year before. Not quite as productive. He started to get better at the end of the year because his ankle started to feel better. I think this could be not the steal of the draft, but a steal of this draft, where this is a player that, had he been healthy, might have gone, you know, he still went 11th, but he could have gone even higher. And I think he fits from a play style standpoint. That Georgia dog mentality is exactly what the San Francisco 49ers have been. And they now need to change over the dudes that are implementing it. And I think Mikael Williams is a good pick for that. Tyler Booker to the Cowboys. I hate how much I love this pick. And it's probably because, how can you not love Tyler Booker? He's an excellent pass blocker. In the run game, if you ask him to do the right stuff, he'll be fine. If you ask him to do the wrong stuff, he's going to be lost. Not the world's greatest athlete, but an unbelievable competitor, an unbelievable locker room guy. He is everything of the best of what the Cowboys have been when they've drafted well. Think back to Zach Martin and Travis Frederick and like that O-line in the early 2010s. They're building something on the O-line in Dallas, which is, again, annoying. It's okay. Jerry Jones will mess it up when they all have to get their second contracts in the dumbest possible way. But, man, their draft unit is really good, led by Will McClay, their senior vice president of player personnel, or whatever the hell his title is these days, de facto general manager on draft day. Kenneth Grant. There's no team that probably needed an interior defensive lineman like the Miami Dolphins. They took the best one they thought on the board. Grant's probably a bit of an overdraft here, but he's a big old hog molly and they needed a big old hog molly. There's your thought on it. Doesn't have to be more complicated than that. Your thought on the Dolphins. Tyler Warren at 14 to the Colts. I got two more, then we'll take a break because then we'll be halfway through the first round. Tyler Warren to the Colts at 14. Outside of the Jets, the most duh pick here in the first round. Duh. They needed a tight end. They couldn't believe that he fell. I think he fits what they want. I will say with Warren, he's not quite the blocker that some people think he is. like because of his play style. Like he's big, he's physical, but he doesn't always stick the landing. He's going to have to get better at that at the NFL level, and he's got some good guys to learn from, obviously, with some of the O-linemen that they have and their O-line program there in Indianapolis. But as a weapon for whatever quarterback, and frankly, as a potential like wildcat quarterback design guy in an offense that might need to scheme some stuff up because their quarterback play is not going to be very high level, Tyler Warren's a good pick. And then Jalen Walker, 15 to Atlanta. This is an excellent pick by the Atlanta Falcons. They needed an edge rusher. They got a really explosive athlete who is got some production, might be able to play a little bit of off ball, and at the very least can like line up and be comfortable in the middle of the field as a blitzer. This is a great pick. They addressed a need, and they did it with probably the best guy on the board. And then last but not least, 16. By the way, we'll get back to the Falcons later. 16, Walter Nolan at Ole Miss, or out of Ole Miss to Arizona. They wanted their penetrating three technique to be like Jalen Carter was in the Jonathan Gannon defense. They got it. Dude's limited in some other ways, but he's a good penetrator. He's a disruptive player. I don't know how straight his head is screwed on by some of the reports on that side of it, but I think they probably have high faith with some of the guys they've got, especially in his room, that if you go play next to Calais Campbell, Calais Campbell will take your head and fix any loose screws and make sure it's on straight. So they might very well get the best out of Walter Nolan, and the best out of Walter Nolan could be a really, really good football player. All right, pick 17 through 32. Next, one thought on every NFL draft first rounder coming up on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We will let you hear from Adam Peters, Lance Newmark on the Commanders draft coming up at 6 o'clock, pick 6 style. 6:30, we're talking a little NBA playoffs, including a weird game between the Warriors and the Rockets last night. But we are going through every single team in the NFL draft and giving you our thoughts on their first-round pick. So let's pick it up with pick 17. Pick number 17 in the 2025 NFL Draft belonged to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they took Shamar Stewart, defensive end, out of Texas A&M. I told you he wouldn't get out of the 20s, and I was right, because he is a freakish athlete who is now, presuming that they don't trade Trey Hendrickson, going to get to learn from Trey Hendrickson on some of the finer points of pass rushing. And this is a team that needs to add more pop on the defensive side. And there is no better ball of clay in this entire draft, arguably, than Shamar Stewart. So I like the pick for Cincinnati. Gray Zabel, this is the correct pick for the Seattle Seahawks at 18. They have been neglecting the interior of their offensive line forever. And they finally were just like, all right, fine, we get it. We'll take a guy that can play either guard spot or maybe even play center for us. So they'll figure out where his ultimate long-term home is, but I guarantee you that Gray Zabel is probably going to be a good football player for a long time. Emeka Egbuka. This is one of the most confusing picks in the draft for me because I like Emeka Egbuka. I typically really trust the Bucks in what they do in the draft. And there's almost no team that Emeka Egbuka could have been drafted by where I've been like, what are you doing? But Bucks, you drafted Jalen McMillan last year. You just re-signed Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is still Mike Evans. You're bringing him back. Why are you spending your first-round pick on a receiver? Is it probably going to be your wide receiver 4 this year? That doesn't seem like a needle mover for a team that was in the playoffs last year and is trying to continue to do that and is with Baker Mayfield the next couple of years. That doesn't make any sense. So I don't really love that. I think there's other players that I would have said like, oh, that makes a lot more sense that we're still on the board. Guys, they could have gone secondary with a guy like Malachi Starks. They obviously could have gotten Jahad Campbell and gotten an edge rusher, but also an off-ball linebacker type, which they've done in the past and had some success with. So there are definitely guys that I think would have made more sense, but I'm also only going to be so mad at one of the most solid football safest pick or solid football player safest picks in the draft with Emeka Egbuka. Zade Barron, the cornerback out of Texas to the Broncos. That defense is nasty, and they just added another weapon to it. I don't know whether he's going to play inside or outside. I don't really care. Like they'll figure out how to use him opposite of Patrick Surtain or in conjunction with Patrick Surtain. I think they also lets them do some funkier stuff on defense with him as a blitzer. So he's just a good football player that has some versatility, and maybe he can play some safety. But he might start at outside corner opposite, Pat Surtain, and he's probably okay there. Also, incredible story. I know it's supposed to be one thought, but two thoughts here because Jahdae Barron earned it. Barron asked to be put, Sean Payton told this story in the post-draft presser. He goes, I've never had this happen before. He got asked to be put on speakerphone, and he thanked every single person, not individually, obviously, but the collective group in the Broncos room to say, hey, I know how many people it took to make this happen, all the scouts, everybody, and I just want to thank you all for selecting me. Pretty cool from Jahdae Barron, pretty classy, and tells you what kind of dude the young man is that the Denver Broncos just drafted. Derek Harmon, 21 overall to Pittsburgh. Of course they drafted a guy who's gotten comparisons to Casey Hayward to play with and then ultimately replace Casey Hayward. This is a guy that, in a lot of boards, is a top 20 pick. Very, very Steelers pick. They're just getting better on the trenches, which is how they keep the floor underneath them. Now, if only they could ever figure out the quarterback, maybe their ceiling wouldn't be 2 feet off the floor. Omarion Hampton, do everything back in an offense that asks their backs to do everything. Seems like a good pick. Guy who's a good runner for a team that runs the football a lot. There are certain teams where taking a running back in the first round is probably dumb. The amount of running the football the Los Angeles Chargers do, they are not one of them. Like the pick a lot. Matthew Golden to Green Bay at 23. I like the player. I just am... How many receivers are you going to have that are under 25 years old, Green Bay Packers? And I realize the part of the reason you have all of them is none of them have quite hit the way that you want. And maybe he's a good compliment to Jaden Reed. And if he turns into a bona fide number one and all these other guys that have it turn into your two, your three, your four, like, okay, that can definitely work out. I just think I like Matthew Golden better as a two. And there's probably other needs that they had from edge to some of the offensive linemen that are getting older. Like, there's other things they could have addressed in Green Bay. Donovan Jackson, 24 overall to the Vikings. Totally depends on how much you like Donovan Jackson. I like him fine. I think he's got some guard and tackle flexibility. I think that's probably good for them. They'll figure out where his best usage is. If the skill set fits with what Kevin O'Connell wants to do, good pick. If it doesn't, kind of an overdraft. But I will also say this for the Vikings. They only had 4 picks going into this. So if they like Donovan Jackson a lot, they can't worry about, oh, well, we could get him later, or we'll try to trade up and get him later. They had to take him now. So I kind of give them a pass on that. Speaking of trades, let's talk about picks 25 and 26. I promise it's just one thought, so I'm going to have to keep it concise. But Jackson Dart is a perfectly fine guy to take at the end of the first round, to take a chance on. I like the fit with Brian Daboll. I hate owners that allow GMs and coaches that are on the hot seat to trade future resources for specifically a quarterback, because if you fire Daboll after the year and you drafted Jackson Dart because you like the fit with Brian Daboll, you're probably hiring a coach that's the exact opposite of Brian Daboll. It is organizational malpractice, and teams do it every year. Just fire the coach. And I don't say that flippantly. I don't think Brian Daboll's a bad football coach. But you can't be like, oh, we'll let you trade back into the first round to take the quarterback to save your job, because a rookie quarterback is very unlikely to save someone's job. Maybe this will be the time. Maybe this will work out. But I don't hate it as much as I hate what the Falcons did. I said all those nice things about the Falcons at 15, and then they went and traded next year's first-round pick for a guy that a bunch of teams didn't have on their board. I don't think James Pierce was going in the first round. Why did you trade up to 26 to get him? Especially at a position where you already drafted a guy. Why are you doubling up? I know you desperately need edge rusher. You'd be like, oh, well, now they only have to bat 500. Okay, well, then you wasted a first-round pick. You could argue you wasted two, because you traded next year's first, and then one of these guys isn't going to work out on the you only have to go one for two equation. And even if they both work out, now you have to pay two dudes at the one of the most expensive positions in the entire sport at the same damn time. At least a one-year stagger gives you some hope. Falcons. Why do you consistently Falcon? I don't get it. 27. Malachi Starks to the Ravens. Of course Malachi Starks fell to the Ravens. He was the Kyle Hamilton of this draft. Of course, Malachi Starks fell to the Ravens. Tyreek Williams, I'm not going to doubt Brad Holmes and the Lions front office. They seem to know what they're doing. They seem to know what they like. Probably not a player that was on my first round radar, but what am I going to say? They've been awesome at drafting. Josh Connerly, you've gotten plenty of thoughts on him. Maxwell Hairston, Here's what I'll say about Maxwell Hairston. If he works out and he's the guy that he seemed to be in the green room where he's glad, he's dapping everybody up, showing a ton of support, then this could definitely work out. He's a zone corner and for a team that plays a ton of zone. I am really uncomfortable with Brandon Bean basically asking for it. Because Maxwell Hairston had some off-the-field stuff, and Brandon Bean went so over the top and being like, we are not concerned, he's the best guy, like all this kind of stuff. Have a little humility. That way, if, God forbid, something does happen, again, in the same vote, the stuff that's alleged to have already happened, you don't look like the world's biggest a-hole. It's okay to have some, say, we were comfortable with it, and we'll continue to work to make sure that Maxwell's aware of his surrounding, whatever you want to do it. But to be like, he's the best, seems like you're just asking for it to step on a rake. Jahad Campbell, Eagles. Of course Jahad Campbell fell to the Eagles. A guy that you're not really sure what position he plays. You know he's a really great athlete. Oh, he's a little banged up. And all of a sudden, the Eagles are at 31, and they get a top 15 player in the class. Them and the Ravens. Why? And then Josh Simmons. If Josh Simmons' knee is good, this is a steal for the Kansas City Chiefs at 32. If his knee is not good, or there's some off-the-field stuff that comes out, or that acts up and bubbles up, the Chiefs will have whiffed on tackle for the fourth straight year. That's all 32 teams. We did it in less than 30 minutes. One pick or one thought on each of the 32 first-round picks. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we get back to the Commanders first-round pick. You will hear about Josh Connerly from Adam Peters and Lance Newmark, as well as the other four players they drafted to be Connerly's teammate in the 2025 NFL Draft. That's all coming up on the Hoffman Show.